The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast lives to fight another day. The Great White Whale of Medicare podcasts. And now, joking and smoking, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, well, guess who's back in town? It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I almost forgot who was back in town myself. One of my favorite songs is Thin Lizzy, The Boys Are Back in Town, because I grew up with a bunch of guys who formed a band and put out an album and almost became very popular, and their name was The Boys from Illinois. There are a couple of Z's in there somewhere. But anyway, welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Medicare for the Lazy Man isn't only for lazy men, it's for lazy ladies as well. And it's designed to help you learn the things you need to know to address Medicare with confidence, to defeat it, and to walk all over it, and to walk away from it with a victorious attitude, knowing that you have design the best protection against high medical expenses that money can buy. And it won't take very much money to buy that defense against high medical expenses once you understand the contents of my book. What book is that, you say? Well, the book is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. And it can be acquired at either BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. If you put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 in the search window, you're going to find that there are several editions, ranging from the very inexpensive ebook or Kindle version, all the way up through the Audible version, past the paperback version, the $8 paperback version, right up to the magnificently designed and executed $22 hardcover version, which is suitable for gifting to friends and family. Even if your friends or family members are not even anywhere close to Medicare age, it kind of makes a funny gift to wrap it up, provide it or put it under the Christmas tree, or have it on the table of birthday presents that they wind up opening. And I think that will show that you not only love and respect them, but also you have a sense of humor. So this would be my suggestion for a birthday present for somebody who is middle-aged or older. It'll be a funny, funny joke. Anyway, I am here to help you understand Medicare in a way that nobody else can. And helping me in that endeavor is one Randall Carson. Randall, are everything under control on your end of the thing today?
Yes, yes, by golly, it is.
You're wearing Douglas, my favorite. You're
Douglas
wearing my.
Is,
yes, we talked like our mothers used to yell at us. We use a full name with a middle initial.
I'm telling you, if I ever got called Randall, I know that I was in deep, deep doo-doo.
Well, you're wearing my favorite shirt today. I just have to announce to the audience that he is wearing a shirt that looks like it's been through the mill a few times, but I think it was probably designed to look that way. Miss Kitty's Cave Creek Ranch, established in 1888. It says saloon and brothel. Our customers come first. So I think that's a fantastic shirt, and I'm going to be looking for one of those on the internet. The interwebs, as they call them.
The interwebs, yeah. Well, just so you know, anybody that's close in the area or going to be traveling through the area, we talk about a particular bar in the area that I actually got this from, was at the Buffalo Chip. And we talk about the Buffalo Chip a lot because there's days that I'm not even allowed to go past there.
You have to turn in, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have to turn in because I can't go past. But yeah, they always love it when we talk about the Buffalo Chip, because it is a great, great establishment. Cave Creek in general, if you'd like to know, it is an actual old frontier town. The next door to it, Carefree, was only involved, I think, in cityhood in the 60s.
Actually, some point. I was out here first in 1958, and Carefree basically consisted of the world's largest sundial and a trailer that the real estate agents would sell property out of.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there was nothing there. And now it is the opposite of Cave Creek. Cave Creek is a down, dirty, rough and tumble cowboy town, or at least it likes to present itself that way.
Well, yeah, you may be sitting next to a herd foreman with a, you know, with a six gun on his hip, or you might be sitting next to somebody with all hat and no cattle. But
yeah, that's certainly possible. And frankly, we've seen them back at my favorite bar. I was talking about this with friends the other night. Basically, when the Greasewood Flat was still in business, it was about as rough and tumble and down and dirty a bar, everything outside. You could only go inside if you wanted to order. Otherwise, you were outside right, sitting at a picnic table that hadn't been moved in years. And I remember one New Year's Eve that we showed up there with out-of-town guests, and a whole bunch of people came in that rode up in full-dress Harleys, or on full-dress Harleys, and they were all doctors and lawyers and highly successful people who had bought their wives new leathers for Christmas. They all made a bunch of noise because their leathers were squeaking as they walked.
That's the worst. When your leathers are squeaking.
Yeah, that is bad. I would have, you know, probably kicked them around in the dirt and maybe run them through a hose a couple of times, but or a car wash even, put them on top of the car. But no, these were all brand new, squeaky clean. They didn't realize that they kind of stood out from the crowd.
Oh, my God, yes. That's where the expression, a good friend of mine across the street that was born and raised in Texas, when he says all hat and no cattle, it's not a good thing.
It's not a compliment, is it?
No.
Well, I'll tell you something. We should tear into the Medicare content that's been curated for me, because otherwise the curator is going to be disturbed because her efforts will have been in vain. So I'm going to cut off our fun time and go right to the Medicare content. I've got three articles that are kind of peripherally related. And one of them, at least, came from Tony King, who I've been talking about and kind of giggling about. Tony Says is her website, and she's got a series of short podcasts. Ours are a little bit longer, generally speaking, but she's kind of fun to listen to because she's got a Southern accent that reminds me of all the people I grew up with back in Oklahoma. But here is a question and answer thing that came right from her website. It says, Dear Tony, when I first enrolled in Medicare in 2019, the headline in this article is Changing Medicare Plans Can Be Nerve-Wracking. So when I first enrolled in Medicare in 2019, I picked a Medicare Supplement Plan F. In 2021, I was approached by a telemarketer on my cell phone. He talked me into Plan K, which costs less than Plan F since I was in good health. I was hospitalized in November 2022 due to diabetic issues when I passed out in the doctor's office. Oh, that's bad. When you go to a doctor's appointment, you pass out. Ooh, they have carte blanche to do anything they want to. So this person says, now I'm a serious diabetic, causing me to have kidney issues, needing dialysis to survive. Since I have Plan K, I must pay the deductible plus 50% of the cost until I meet Medicare Supplement's maximum out-of-pocket, which is almost $7,000. I tried to go back to Plan F, but the agent said I couldn't because of the dialysis. I thought with Medicare, pre-existing conditions did not count. Can you help me to understand this? Your assistance would be appreciated. And this was written by a person named Anthony in Las Vegas. Anthony, what a great question. Americans who do not have health problems need to realize that a healthcare crisis can happen when you least expect it. While they want to save a few dollars, they don't realize that they must answer health underwriting questions to qualify for a new Medicare supplement. That's not true in every state, ladies and gentlemen. It is true in almost every state, but there are a couple of states out there where you don't have to answer health underwriting questions. Anthony, you went from the top-of-the-line Medicare Plan F supplement, where you would have zero out-of-pocket and all Medicare-covered expenses would be covered at 100%. You went from that plan to a Plan K with an out-of-pocket of $6,940. And this is probably this is current. So that's what your cost sharing would be, almost $7,000. for 2023. Because you now have end-stage renal disease, which requires dialysis, you cannot qualify for a new Medicare supplement since you cannot pass health underwriting. Your options are to either stay on your Medicare Plan K or go with a Medicare Advantage HMO or PPO plan. Oh boy, that's a bleak choice. But if you will have, you will have to wait until the Medicare annual enrollment period, beginning October 15th to December 7th, if you want to take a Medicare Advantage plan, which, unlike a Medicare supplement, has no health questions. I would advise you to talk with your healthcare providers about which Medicare Advantage plan meets their qualifications. And it says there are two chapters in the Medicare, let's say in her book that she writes, which explain the difference between Medicare supplements and Medicare Advantage plans. Well, I've got a chapter in my book that explains Medicare Advantage plans also. And that's what I would recommend that people read, Medicare for the Lazy Man, 2023. So anyway, she goes on to say, I explain this and that and everything else. And then she goes, Medicare Supplement Plan F covers most of the Medicare approved amounts with zero out of your pocket. But one must have enrolled in Medicare prior to January 1st, 2020, in order to be able to enroll in Plan F. Medicare Supplement Plan G is like Plan F, and it's available to Medicare beneficiaries whose Medicare Part A starts after January 1st of 2020. The difference in Plan F and G is that Plan G does not include the Part B deductible of $226 for this year. Medicare Supplement Plan N has lower premiums with higher out-of-pocket costs. So those are the elements that she's talking about. She doesn't even mention my plan. The favorite of all my Medicare supplement plans is high deductible Plan G. It doesn't have anywhere near a $7,000 out-of-pocket, and it has a much smaller $2,700 out-of-pocket, and you will have to get really, 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 really sick in order to even come anywhere close to spending that kind of money with a high deductible Plan G. So let's see here. Another article, reader alert, the dangers of changing Medicare options with telemarketers. Oh, same article, same content with a different title. Tony reuses her content quite frequently, and so one can get fooled by that. Let's see here. Okay, taking Medicare advice from your friends can be costly. Hi, Tony. I met with you late in 2021 for a Tony Says personalized Medicare consultation. I have a quick question regarding travel outside the United States because I'm planning a trip to Greece next month. My friend recently gave me Medicare advice that now has me very confused. Now, this is, remember, the title of this is Taking Medicare Advice from Your Friends Can Be Costly. So her friend told her that some Medicare plans, such as Plan F, give foreign travel medical coverage, but others, such as Plan G, which is my choice, do not. And her question is that true? If so, do you have any recommendations for me as to how to get reasonable medical coverage for my trip? Thanks for any help you can give me. This is from Leanne in Sugar Land, Texas. Dear Leanne, your friend is dead wrong, and what she told you is not accurate. Medicare supplement plans F and G, and just for the purposes of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, I want to say that this is the only kind of Medicare supplement that I encourage people to buy. Medicare supplements that include some limited coverage for overseas travel outside the United States. It's not everything, but it is a substantial benefit that will protect you from high bills in a foreign country if you have a medical emergency during the first 60 days of your trip. If you're an expat and you're going to stay longer than 60 days, you're better off getting real travel insurance for that. So anyway, she goes on to say Medicare supplement plans F and G cover the same limited amount of emergency foreign travel, an added perk Medicare does not cover. This foreign travel coverage pays for emergency care if it begins during the first 60 days of your trip. It has a $250 deductible, and thereafter, the Medicare supplement plan only pays 80% up to a lifetime maximum benefit of $50,000. You pay 20% and any amounts over the $50,000 lifetime maximum. Now, that's included in some Medicare supplement plans, but not everyone. And she goes, who knows what an air ambulance from Greece will cost? My recommendation, yeah, a lot. Randy's going, oh my God, it'd be a huge amount. Yeah, I know how to read Randy's sign language after all these years. My recommendation to you, Leanne, is to talk with your travel or insurance agent or explore online for true traveler's insurance that will take care of your medical needs in all countries all over the world. Not all travel insurance plans include medical coverage, so it's important to read the plan's conditions and restrictions. Remember that original Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans only take care of medical and prescription drug expenses in the United States. So be sure you bring enough of your prescription medication while you're overseas, or you will have to pay out of pocket. Leanne, your Plan F recommending friend is apparently unaware that the plan is no longer even available for those enrolling in Medicare Part A as of January 1st of 2020. Chapter 3 of the Medicare Survival Guide, that's her book, discusses the rules of enrolling in Medicare supplements. For those who are currently enrolled in a Medicare supplement Plan F, that Plan F will be grandfathered. Although grandfathered means that they may keep the plan, no one really knows what future rate increases will be like. Well, let me interject here. I've seen the rate increases that most companies are putting Plan F through, and they're not pleasant. In many of the cases I've examined, if a person is eligible to get a Plan F, but they can also get a Plan G, they might save hundreds and hundreds of dollars by getting a Plan G, which only won't pay for $226 Part B deductible. The plan, that's the only difference between the two. But if they can save $300 or more, then it makes no sense to get a Plan F. So then Tony goes on, here's a surprise for your friend. Medicare Supplement Plan G has taken Medicare Supplement Plan F's place. Another plan called Plan N will be the lesser premium plan with higher out-of-pocket costs. She doesn't even mention my favorite plan, high deductible Plan G, which also has a very, very low premium, much lower than Plan N. It's got a somewhat greater out-of-pocket cost, but you don't even see that cost if you don't have big-time medical expenses. So then she goes on to say, here are the main differences between Plan G and Plan N. Plan G offers lower rates and the same Medicare benefits as Plan F, except the Medicare Part B deductible is not covered and will be paid for by the insured. That's you. The Part B deductible for 2023 is $226. Plan N, that's a plan Randy has. Generally, it has lower premiums than Plan G with higher out-of-pocket costs. There's a $20 copay for a doctor's visit and a $50 copay for the emergency room. The Part B deductible is also not covered. And in addition, the Part B excess charges for doctors who are not Medicare, not getting their Medicare assignment, their relationship with Medicare is less, it's more tenuous and less solid, let's say. Then though that 15% of excess doctor's charges is not paid for by the insurance company. So to wrap it up, she says, Leanne, your friend is giving Medicare advice while having no idea what a Medicare supplement covers. Unfortunately, this is not the first time a friend has misled someone over their Medicare option, and it probably won't be the last. Well, truer words were never spoken, but, I still like Tony. I still think she's a lot of fun. So I'm saving up her podcast episodes to listen to in the car with the content curator and the spousal unit. They are going to be joining me on my trip to Illinois, driving across the country. And that means it's going to be a lot of fun when we get to listen to a bunch of Tony King's podcast episodes. Now, what else have I found here? Oh, I just want to touch on this before I throw it across the room. The great grift. How billions in COVID-19 relief aid was stolen or wasted. Gee, what a surprise. Who could have seen this coming down the pike? Much of the theft was brazen and even simple. Fraudsters used the Social Security numbers of dead people and federal prisoners to get unemployment checks. Cheaters collected these benefits in multiple states, and federal loan applications were not cross-checked against a Treasury Department database that would have raised red flags about the sketchy borrowers. Criminals and gangs grabbed the money, but so did a U.S. soldier in Georgia, a pastor of a defunct church in Texas, a former state lawmaker in Missouri, and a roofing contractor in Montana. All of it led to the greatest grift in U.S. history, with thieves plundering billions of dollars in federal COVID-19 relief aid intended to combat the worst pandemic, panic I call it, in a century, and to stabilize an economy in free fall. Who could have thunk, ladies and gentlemen? Why is this surprising? Why is this news? When the government makes money easy to get, then they get people lined up to take it. An Associated Press analysis found that the fraudsters potentially stole more than $280 billion in COVID relief funding. Another $123 billion was wasted or misspent. That's not surprising. And combined, the loss represents 10% of the $4.2 trillion that the U.S. government has so far dispersed in COVID relief aid. That number is certain to grow as investors dig deeper into thousands of potential schemes. Yep, just like Hillary Clinton, she's not going to wind up anywhere near a jail, and I doubt that any of these thieves will either. It's heartbreaking that we let it happen. And my sister in Canada, where it was even worse, said it best to me. She said, "We so easily gave up our freedoms. We surrendered our freedoms when this COVID thing came down the pike. The government whack jobs use that as an excuse to tighten the screws on everybody because they don't like people who have freedom. They always prefer to be able to order people around and to run the show and to set down the rules. And that involves handing out money to buy votes and allowing thieves to prosper during a situation like that." So it was a heartbreaking occurrence as far as I'm concerned. So I believe we've come close enough to the end of the podcast that I've got to start packing for my trip. Randy, what do you think?
I think that's a good idea because you need to be on the road at what time in the morning?
Oh, maybe 10, maybe 11.
So
have I ever mentioned that I'm not an early riser?
No, the first day I ever met you, which was, 5 years ago now? I don't know.
March of 2018, yeah, 5 years ago.
That was probably the first thing you told me. "Hey, my name's Doug Jones, and I hate getting up in the morning."
I basically didn't want to cut a deal with anybody who didn't respect my needs for sleep.
No, it's I don't like getting up early in the morning either. If I have to work extra, it's always going to be, stay awake and
sure,
stay up at night. But getting up early in the morning is not my cup of tea either. My dad, his trick to getting me out of bed out on the ranch to take care of some stuff in the morning, do morning chores. I used to say, "Oh, Dad, I'm too tired to get up." My dad's answer to that was, "Well, I'll just go tell the cattle nobody's going to feed them then."
Yeah, they can feed themselves.
Okay.
Jeez. Well, my father was the same way. He went through World War II and the Korean War and owned a big insurance agency in downtown Chicago all of his career. And all of that crap started way before sunrise. I went through my early years sleep deprived because I had to keep up with that schedule. It was very disgusting.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My dad had also, and probably your dad too, if somebody needed to get up early, he'd say, "Well, what time you need to be up?" "Well, I need to be up at 2:12. He had this ability to wake up at, like he had a clock in his head.
Yeah.
Wake up at 2:10 and come wake you up.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the heck, how that works. I think Mary's got that same kind of skill. I, on the other hand, I have a thing in my head that doesn't allow me to even recognize consciousness until somebody's shaking me and yelling at me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Well, you know something? We had a great episode today, but As you mentioned earlier, the 75-cent clock has chirped. So let's go ahead and land the plane, bring the train into the station, and the bus into the depot. We are out of time. But before I sign off, I want to thank everyone for joining us. We always appreciate it. Without you, it's not nearly as much fun as it is with you. Doug and I just sitting across the studio staring at one another going, well, what do we say now?
Yeah, we're not that good looking anymore either. So
I never was. I don't know about you. But anyway, Doug is a nationwide licensed agent to help you with your Medicare supplement needs. He will be, as he's driving east to Illinois, the land of Lincoln and mosquitoes.
And corn and beans.
And corn and beans. He will be looking for email at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check us out on the website at medicareforthelazyman.com. Find a place to give us a thumbs up in the form of a couple stars on the podcast and the book. But today, if you haven't been watching your clock carefully, you probably don't know that you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. And he's touched base in Illinois for a few years, but now he considers his permanent home to be Arizona, up in the high altitude mountains behind Cave Creek, in his fortress of solitude. And for today and today only, I'm going to put him in at about 7,000 feet.
Thank you, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. I'll look forward to having you join us next time for the next episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Bye-bye.